6:33 a.m. Joined on a newsbreaker line now by the president founder of the Tennessee Firearms Association, John Harris. John, thanks for joining us and helping us kind of unravel the details here. They still seem to be just unfathomable that the timeline here that this alleged killer, Salvador Ramos, drives a truck, a pickup truck near the school, crashes it, gets out with an AR-15 style rifle, shoots at two people, doesn't hit them at a nearby funeral home, goes to approach the school, and the school district security officer, quote, encounters him outside. They don't know if gunshots exchanged, but the school district security officer doesn't impede him. The alleged killer goes inside the school. Two Uvalde police officers arrive at that time. Nobody's killed at this time. And they exchange gunfire. They're wounded. The alleged killer goes into a classroom, barricades himself, and is there for apparently 40 minutes while police officers wait outside. The parents, one of the parents of a young girl who was killed, said this. At that time, they're waiting. I don't know how many police officers were outside. Quote, let's just rush in because the cops aren't doing anything like they're supposed to. More could have been done. This was Javier Cazares. His fourth grade daughter, Jacqueline, was killed in the attack. Quote, they were unprepared, he said, of the police officers. John, I can't imagine that as they're outside, that individual citizens who, let's say, may or may not have been armed, why were they unable to persuade the police at that time to go inside and take out this guy?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. And it goes back to what we talked about in the last segment, is that part of the training that some departments have had dating back prior to Columbine was that the patrol officers are trained, instructed under protocols that they're not to go in and engage, that they're to secure the area, secure the zone, make sure they don't escape, maybe even make sure others don't go in, and to wait for the specially trained teams or, you know, federal agents or somebody else to come in and do what time tells us can't be delayed.
Now, what's interesting to me about this is I'm picturing a situation like this here in Tennessee. If such a situation were to happen and there were police outside, I don't know how they would respond here, but it would seem to me that a lot of Tennesseans carry firearms. And a lot of Tennesseans would have said the same thing that this father who lost his fourth grade daughter that day said, let's rush in. What would have happened? And I don't know. We'll find out these details. But John, what would have happened if this is Uvalde, Texas? There must have been people, civilians with firearms there outside as the police were waiting for, I guess, a tactical team to arrive. What would have happened if those individuals said, Mr. Police Officer, we're going in? What would have happened?
Not knowing because of a lack of reporting, but my expectation is that the officers would have been trained to and would have acted on their training to tell those citizens, don't get involved, stay back, we've got it, we're following our, procedures, and if you interfere, we may charge you with obstruction or other intentional criminal acts.
I'm thinking about this father, Javier Cazares. I don't know if Javier Cazares possesses a gun, but if he did and he's waiting outside the classroom, I don't know if he knew if his daughter was in that classroom or not, and she may have been, the alleged killer was in that room alone with all these kids and with the teachers, and it looks like he just systematically executed them.
And what we do know, for example, take the 9/11 plane crashes. you know, there's, we've all seen the stories, the movie, everything about the plane where the civilians, all of who had been disarmed by our government that were on the plane, got up out of their seats and rushed the terrorists. You know, I don't doubt at all that people there in that community were frustrated, if this is the timeline that existed, and that they were, at least some of them, willing and able and quite likely, given this is in southern Texas, adequately armed to go in and engage themselves.
Yeah. So there's a story. So let's take this locally. Metro National Schools say that they're working with police on safety protocols. This is our lead story. They confirmed Wednesday, Metro Nashville Police Department confirmed Wednesday that it is working with Metro Nashville Public Schools on safety protocols. Quote, primarily precinct-based officers are visiting elementary school today where they are providing reassurance and discussing existing protocols. This according to Metro Nashville Public School spokesperson Kristen Mumford. Tuesday night, Metro Nashville Public School Director of Schools Dr. Adrian Battle, said the following, quote, we are devastated by the senseless, horrific shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, that has caused the death of several teachers and students. Children have the right to learn and thrive in a safe environment free from violence or tragedy. Far too often, society fails in protecting that right. The statement said school district is working with student support services who will help teachers and students, quote, process this tragedy. Metro Nashville Police Chief John Drake issued this statement to the Star. As a parent and grandparent of a four-year-old, I'm heartbroken over this afternoon's murders of elementary school children and at least one teacher in Texas. While I await the details of the investigation now underway, I have directed all 70 Nashville elementary schools to be visited tomorrow by a police officer to help reassure staff and discuss security protocols. I have also directed our school resource officers and supervisors relay the same messaging at their assigned middle and high schools. John, are you familiar with the protocols here at Metro Nashville at the school level?
Well, not in particular, because to some extent the protocols are maintained as confidential is my expectation, so that it doesn't get out to be publicly aware, so that someone like Mr. Ramos would know what the protocol he's walking into is. But here's the problem with Metro and Tennessee in general. The school districts, the school association's perspective is that of herding sheep. And you contrast that with what happens in Israel, for example, where long ago they realized, understood, and have successfully implemented the way to protect the schools and protect the children is to allow teachers to be armed, whether it's voluntary or required, so that you do have an immediate presence there in the school, an adequate presence there in the school to resist against terrorists or active shooters. And Metro is not going to do that. Tennessee schools are not going to do that. The General Assembly has drug its feet. I mean, we slowly got to the point where it can be done on college campuses in some of them. But when it comes to K through 12, they have refused to look at legislation that would allow a teacher who has a permit or who wants to get a permit to be able to possess a firearm in their classroom, so that should someone like Mr. Ramos force his way in, they could at least respond with fire rather than just be a target in the classroom.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, there's so many questions about this particular incident that, I mean, all the details I think will be revealed. The left, John, has said, and in fact, the last comment here for you and get your reaction. So the left says now it's time to get rid of Michael Moore, the director. The left-wing director says now it's time to get rid of the Second Amendment. Your thoughts on the political success of such charges and efforts for gun control?
Well, it's foolishness, because in our lifetimes it's not going to happen. It would be an insurmountable task, as has been proven in other countries where they have tried to ban civilian ownership of firearms. you know, all they do and all they accomplish when they pursue that is to reduce, not eliminate, the legally owned firearms in civilian possession. They have no success in eliminating or curtailing the criminal possession of firearms, much less, as we saw in Columbine, other destructive devices. You keep in mind, you know, there have been plenty of mass killings at schools in this country and others that didn't involve a firearm. And so the silliness of the left to think that this is an inanimate object is the problem, as opposed to, for example, proper training, proper outfitting, and even permissively allowing school faculty and employees to arm themselves if they chose to do so, is really what the root of the problem is. Once you get past, you know, why is this person a terrorist or why do they have mental health issues?
Exactly.
Once you're past those aspects, which is a whole different conversation, the discussion about how can good people, innocent victims, better, more effectively defend and protect themselves before, and let's assume the officers that arrived in Texas were adequately trained, but it was 5 minutes before they got there. We all saw the video of the Texas church shooting. 5 minutes is an eternity if the guy is already there.
It's forever. John Harris with the Tennessee Firearms Association. Thanks so very much for coming in to kind of to help explain the circumstances there and your reaction to it. Thanks so much, John Harris. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
We'll have more when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.